سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The subject we are discussing is the life and history of the last of the messengers, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And in reading through the history of his ancestors and seeing the different events that took place and the different incidents that took place before his birth, it is important to note the wisdom behind why these incidents happened. Just by looking at them, we can understand that it wasn't just a mere coincidence as to the happenings and the events that are taking place, but it actually is a part of a grand design. And in the design itself, you see how Allah wanted to inform the people who lived in those times regarding the birth, the awaited birth, the anticipated birth of the Prophet. And when you look at this, you will see that the oracle who came from Sham by the name of Sutay came, witnessed the signs, and confirmed the signs of the birth of the Prophet, and hence also the oracle who came from Yemen by the name of Zaraka confirmed the birth and the advent of the last messenger. Now, in that period, there were three major groups of people, or three empires. Two of them were actually empires. One of them was a large area in between. On the west, you had the Roman Empire, and on the east, you had the Persian Empire. And in the middle, you had the land of Hijaz, where the Arabs lived. And you see that through the incidents that happened with Hashim, and even earlier than that, that Allah established the children of Ismail as an authority in the land of Hijaz. He had made the birth of the Prophet known to the people in the Arab world at that time. The Roman Empire, you see that one of its major centers was Sham. And in Sham, when the oracle, who was well known and well reputed in Sham by the name of Sutay, about whom we have heard last week, when he came and confirmed the sign of the last prophet, he went back and there he let everyone know as to what is going to happen, and hence the news spread throughout the Roman Empire regarding the awaited messenger that is going to come. Now we were left with the Persian Empire that was ruled by a king by the name of Kisra. He was the king, and hence he, at that time, was building a grand palace. And it was a palace that, in his own words, and as was claimed by him, that none else had built in the past. It would be built over the sea. The wall of it was going to be over the sea, and this was a special wall that was being built. Now, when we speak of walls, it's not like a wall of our homes. A wall means the width of the wall is the size of this hall. This is a wall. What we have what we call walls, are like matchboxes, you know. You know, like 1 foot wide. This is like a hall. That's the size of the wall, and the wall was going to be built on the sea, so that the king would sit on the sea, and it would seem that he is upon the sea, enjoying the sea, whenever he felt like it. So he is the king, and you know, every king has their desire and wishes, and his wish was to build this. Now, the palace was almost built, the wall was built, and now, as the wall was built, it was going to be opened tomorrow, the day after. The day before the opening, the grand opening, this king had a dream. And in that dream, he saw that the palace that he has built has crumbled to the ground, and the wall is split in two and has drowned in the sea. Now, whenever anyone is building anything and has a dream like this, and this especially goes for kings who are so protective of their own kingdom or their own wealth and then whatever they're building, you see that right away he became afraid, and he wanted to see what this dream meant. Now, as was the case in those days, these people who had the kings in their courts, they would have astrologers, magicians, soothsayers, fortune tellers, and experts of every type. So these people, so now he had 360 of these people in his court. And he asked them in the morning that, listen, I saw this dream that the wall of the palace has split in two and drowned in the ocean, in the sea. Drowned in the sea, how is this the case? What is this? I want you all to tell me right now. Now, obviously, as you have heard last week, right, that this was the expertise of those days. They would find out, do their calculations of astrology and the knowledges they had from jinn, they would see whatever the case is, and every one of them, they all said that we will go and do our research. The head of all the astrologers said there that let's do our research, do our math, and see what is going on. Why did he have this dream? So that night, they were all, they did their maths and their astrology, and no one had an answer. The head of the astrologers, he went out into the forest that night. And he, as he was observing the sky, saw the light that appeared in the western sky from Hijaz. It was the same light that Sutay had seen in Sham. And he looked at that light and he saw the brilliance of this lightning in the sky, this light in the sky, and right away, as they were experts of the knowledge of what has been written also in the books of the old and the knowledges that came down, right away knew that this is the sign of either a great king who is going to be born, who is going to destroy all kingdoms, or the last messenger of God that has been promised in the books of the last prophets. Now he understood that, and right away he knew that this is something of a news that he wanted to affirm with the rest of the astrologers. So he met with the rest of them and he told them what he saw, asked them if they have seen this. There's some who said yes and there's some who said no, but they all agreed that yes, this is what it means. But the problem is that how are you going to tell the king that your kingdom is about to fall? You know, if we inform them of this bad news, then the king would first kill us, then decide what to do. You see, now usually what happens is that in those days, and even now, you see, the thing that we need to understand is that all false religions, all religions of falsehood, whether they believe in God or not is another thing, but the one thing they do believe in is bad luck. Right? If you follow anything other than Islam, you see that it plays a major role in your lifestyle and in the way you think. Bad luck. Islam destroyed this ideology. Islam destroyed the concept of bad luck. Right? Because obviously when we look at things and see that, for example, what is bad? You see, what is bad? How are we going to decide what is bad? Right? If we get into an accident, is that bad? If we lose our legs, is that bad? If we lose our life, is that bad? To us, it's not. To us, it's not bad. And hence, there's no thing that is called bad luck. What do you mean, bad luck? Really, the only unfortunate thing, the only bad luck you can have is not have faith in Allah.
Subhanallah.
That's the only bad luck that you can have in your life, is that you die as a person who did not believe in his creator. But if you believe in the creator and you obey the creator and you obey your master, then there is no such thing as bad luck. No matter what happens to you, you are happy because whatever is happening is being done by Allah. And if Allah does it, it cannot be bad. It has to be good. See, it has to be good. So the other thing, and so the thing is that these people who believe in these false religions, they give a lot of weight to bad luck or, you know, having bad signs or a bad omen. And this dream is like a bad omen, and anytime they want to build something, you see, they will look at the signs or astrology or these things to make sure that there is a, the omen is good to build something. Like they want to start a business, they will see, you know, okay, you know, this time is going to bring you luck. So you need to start it right now. So now, this was big in those days and it was very understandable, and it's still understandable to people if you say that. Right? They will be happy with this argument, with this proof, and they'll say, Alhamdulillah, there's no argument against us. So in order to save these lives, like in order to save their lives, these astrologers, now they made a plan that, listen, we can't tell the king that a king is going to be born who's going to destroy your kingdom. So obviously that is going to assure their death. So in order to save their own lives, they told the king that, listen, we made a mistake. We made a mistake. The day we started to build this palace was a bad day. And that's the reason why you had this dream. It was not a good day to build. So we need to redo this. So he said, alright. Right? He made the plan of redoing this. Right? He said, okay, let's knock down the wall and we'll build the wall again. Now obviously it's expensive for him, but he's the king, you know, it's expensive, but you know, he's upset at the wastage of time. So he's still upset, you know, that this happened, you know. Now this incident happened. This incident happened on the night of the conception of the Prophet. Right? When he was conceived in the womb of Amina. This incident happened. Now, it took them 8 months to rebuild that wall. Right? Now just keep in time the timeline, right, as we are speaking of this. So now when we look at the timeline, 8 months later it was rebuilt. Mm-hmm. Now the fact is that he went on that, the opening day, the first day, he went on this to have his meal. And just like his dream had happened, the wall split in two, fell into the sea, and he fell in with it. He fell in the sea with it. And he almost drowned. The astrologers were hoping he would drown. But he was saved. And now he is really angry and upset. He's angry and upset, and he calls these astrologers of his court. He says, what just happened? You said it was going to be a good day to build. Right? So again this happened. The same thing happened that I saw in my dream. Right? The same thing happened, and the wall broke. So again they said, okay, you know what? We made a mistake again. That wasn't a good day to start. Now the thing is that, you know, the king is upset now. So he says, alright, what day is a good day to start? You know, they looked at each other, he says, you can start today, it's a good day. So he had people work on it, and in a matter of 2 weeks, they rebuilt that section that broke. And now the king wants to go and have his meal there, which he's planning for a long time. Right? He wants to have the meal there. So he goes there again. Uh-oh. You see, and again, the same thing happens. Oh, man. I mean, really, history says the same thing happened. He fell down again in the sea, was saved again, and this time he was livid. He was livid with these people and said, what is wrong with you? Either you are not astrologers, because to them this was science. I mean, you know, science is saying this is a good day, so it can't be wrong. So either you are not astrologers, or something is wrong. Tell me the truth, what it is, otherwise I'm going to kill you right away. Right? I'm going to kill you right away. Now, around that time, right, the night before this happened, again, the last incident happened, the religious head of that religion, which was higher worshippers, the religious head of that, he had a dream in which he saw horses and camels riding from the Arab world into Persia. All of them riding into this, and he woke up and he could not understand the dream. He came to the king and informed him of what he saw in the dream, and he said, listen, I saw this and they are running over your whole kingdom. The same thing happened. Now, you see the king. This incident happened. Now he's dealing with the astrologers. Now he has to deal with their pope. Now he deal with them, and at the same time, the same day this happened, now you see a group of these religious men who were caretakers of the higher temple of Fars, which was a higher temple that was lit for 1,000 years. They came there scratching their head and crying to the king. Now, here's the court. Astrologers on one side. Right? This is happening one day, right? And it's being written down as to what happened in the court that day. Astrologers on one side. This religious leader on the other hand with his dream. And on the other thing, and the other hand, he sees these people who are walking, and by their dress he recognizes they are the ones who take care of this temple. So now he asks them, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? He says, here's what happened. The fire that has been lit for 1,000 years has gone out, and we cannot lit it back. We cannot light it back.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's right.
You see that? We cannot light it back. So now what happened is that now he is really looking at all these things, and as the astrologers, if you're not truthful with me, I'm going to kill all of you right now. So now they decided, we're going to be dead anyway. So let him know the truth before we die. Right? So they said, listen, this is what really happened. In the land of Hijaz, there is a man that was destined to be born, and he is conceived and born, and he is going to destroy all kingdoms. No kingdom will be able to stay in Pernambuco. He is the last of the messengers, and his protection is from Allah Himself. Now, the king was like, sir, I want to make sure that this is the case. What is this? He asked the head of the astrologers. Head of the astrologers, I will make sure of this. In order to make me sure, I'm going to ask my teacher. He sent him to the teacher. And the teacher was in Sham, the same person by the name of Sutay. He came to Sutay and said that I came with an issue. Sutay didn't want to speak to him. He said, leave me alone, I'm dying. I'm dying. So then he read some things for him in these words. He said that your student has come from so far to ask you a question, and yet you don't answer him. So when he heard that, so Sutay said, what is it? What is your issue? He said, well, I saw this light. What is this light? This light, according to my calculation, is the light of the last messenger. Is it true? Sutay said, yes, it is. Right? The last messenger has come, and anyone who opposes him will be destroyed.
That's right.
So you better not oppose him. The only way to be successful is to be with him. To accept what he brings. Sutay died, and you see, he went back with the news. So now, my brothers, understand the discussion we are having. This whole incident I mentioned just for this one reason. That the two empires that existed, the Roman Empire, all of them heard the news from Sutay. And many others like him who said and who prophesied the same and told the same. On the other hand, the Persian Empire heard the same thing. They were informed of the same thing, and all of them have heard that this is happening and this has happened. So everyone knew that the last messenger is born. Everyone knew who he was. Everyone knew where he is from. All of them knew this. So Allah made the arrangement. All of this news and all these events happened for what? So that everyone is informed and has the knowledge of the appearance of the last messenger.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So everyone has the knowledge of the appearance of the last messenger. He was the anticipated messenger. He was everyone, every prophet had prophesied about him. All these astrologers have predicted about him. The news of his birth is well known now. Everyone knows it. They all heard from the people, the very people that they trusted as scientists. This was the science in those days, and they trusted them, and they trusted them with their lives and everything. That whatever you say, we will do. That was the case with these astrologers. If you say this, we will do this. So everyone knew about the Prophet. My friends, understand what I'm saying. Everyone knew about the Prophet. Everyone knew that he's coming. Everyone knew where he's coming from. They had all the knowledge of the Prophet. They had all the information of the Prophet. And still they rejected him. You see that? Still they rejected him. So what does that show? Even having the knowledge does not make it that you are going to accept the awaited messenger. So if all the knowledge was given to the people for the anticipated prophet, and yet he was not accepted by the people, he was rejected by the people. So what do you think? If the last messenger was rejected, even though people had knowledge, what makes you so sure that the last imam will be accepted, even if you have the knowledge of the imam? Having the knowledge of the Imam doesn't mean that you are going to be with him. Having the knowledge of the Imam doesn't mean that you are going to accept him. Knowing about the Imam doesn't mean that you are going to say that, yes, you know, he's the Imam and I'm going to be with him. You can learn all his qualities, you can read all the hadith, you can read everything, all of these things. But it still doesn't mean you're going to accept him. Now, if you know what makes you accept him, if you know what is going to make you accept the Imam, then you just have to analyze if you are like those people who accepted the Prophet. In order to accept the last messenger, you have to be like a person like Salman, you have to be like a person like Abu Zar or Baghdad or these type of people who accepted him. You see, Salman came from Iran to accept him. Bilal came from Africa to accept him.
That's right.
If you want to accept him, then you have to be like those people who accepted him. Otherwise, having the knowledge of the last Imam is not going to make you accept him. Your character has to be like that. That's why we analyze the character of those who help the Prophet. Why? Because with all the knowledge that everyone had about the Prophet, all the miracles they saw about the Prophet, still they refused him. Still they rejected him. You see, this is my friends, when we look at the history, Allah made the arrangements for everyone to know the last messenger. But still, having that knowledge did not make them accept the Prophet. Did not make them believe in what he brought. Just like that, when the last Imam will come, having the knowledge of the Imam, you can have a lot of knowledge. If I take a test from you, you know, you can score 100 tests. Scoring 100 and being the expert of the Imam, and we have these experts everywhere. You see those experts, right? There are institutions that that do research on the last Imam. They're experts on it. You know, there's one institution, you know, that I knew of in India. When I went back there, you know, for my marriage, and I saw that there is this seminar that's going on. And I said, who is this done by? This institution, they're experts on the last Imam. I said, they're experts on the last Imam. Well, let me just go and see how much expert they are. You know what I mean? Maybe you can learn something. So I asked them, they had these books on display, all the books about the Imam and this and that. Impressive. All these books are on display, looking at these books, an exhibition type thing. Looking all these books and this and that, and the experts are there to answer any questions you have about the Imam. So I asked them some questions. I said, all right, what should we do to prepare for the Imam?
Teach us.
You know, simple, you know. I mean, what do we do to prepare for the Imam? You know, so the expert, you know, I mean, he came forward. He said, here, in order to prepare for the Imam, we have been told to read 60 du'as that are there a day. I said, your 60 du'as you're going to read in a day to prepare for the Imam. Right? If you read 60 du'as, how much time you will have to do anything else? So in other words, the only people who are waiting for the Imam or truly waiting for the Imam are the retired or the unemployed. I mean, imagine if this is the case. I mean, you have to have be retired or unemployed to read 60 du'as, those big du'as, a day. I say that, you know, is that why the du'as are given?
Subhanallah.
Or are the du'as given so that we can learn in those du'as the message that the Imams wanted us to know so that we can implement it in our lives?
Subhanallah.
You see that? What are those du'as for? Are those du'as there, you know, so that we can learn from it? You know, like that we just read it or we can learn from it and know what it takes for us to be with the Imam.
Teach us.
Are we doing the work of the Imam? Are we establishing justice? Are we a role model of justice? Are we truly making our lives such that when He comes, we don't have to change our lives to be with Him? You know, I mean, our lives are such that really if the Imam comes, then we have to make a drastic change. So if we have to make a drastic change, maybe we're not ready to make that change. Maybe we are not ready to make that change. That's what happened with the people who knew of the Prophet, but they didn't change their lifestyle to fit what he was going to teach. So when the Prophet came and taught them the lifestyle, it was hard for them to change. They couldn't change, and hence we also now have to make sure that our lifestyle is such that when the Imam comes, we don't have to change our lifestyle. We don't have to make those drastic changes. Yes, you know, I used to do that, now the Imam's here, I won't do it. You know, if we are attached to doing something that we know the Imam is not going to like, then most probably we're not going to leave that thing for the Imam. That's what happened. Many people made excuses. Many people made excuses to be with the last Prophet. You know, they knew about him. They heard him. They met Sutay. They met all these oracles. They met all these people who had warned them and prophesied to them about what's going to happen. But you see, still they did not accept it. Because their lifestyle was such, they didn't want to change it. They were too attached to the things that they were worshipping. They're too attached to the things that they are bowing before. So now, when the Imam will come, the same thing happens. This lesson we see, Allah has put for us. This lesson Allah has put for us, so that we can look at this and recognize, just like those people, those true believers who accepted the Prophet when he came. In fact, you know why they accepted? Because really, if you look at the lifestyle, if you look at the lifestyle of these people, like Salman or Bilal or Abu Zar, you see, they did not have to change their lifestyle. They had their lifestyle was like that when they saw the Prophet, they understood that this is the person who speaks the truth. I mean, the lifestyle that we have been living. This is the lifestyle, you know, the attachment. You understand Salman, how far he came from. How far he came from looking for the Prophet. Looking for this truth. How far he came and how many sacrifices, how many teachers he went through in order to come here. Really, this is something that we need to recognize and understand. And those people who make those sacrifices for the Imam, those people who make that journey for the Imam, then you will see when the Imam will come, they don't have to travel far from him. Then they are with him because they have lived that lifestyle that the Imam is going to come and confirm. He's just going to come and confirm their lifestyle. This is what he's coming for. He's not going to come here, you know, so that he's going to teach. The teaching is already done.
That's right. Subhanallah.
You see that? The Imam, when the Imam will come, the teaching is already done. You know, this is one difference between the last messenger and the last Imam. The last messenger came to confirm the truth that had been revealed before and to explain the laws in such a way that they become so clear that they remain clear until the day of judgment. Mm-hmm. So that's what he came for. When the Imam will come, now he's not going to come and teach. The Imam is not going to come and teach. And you know this hadith, you know, from before also, many times I've said this. Every person 20 years old, when the Imam will come, who doesn't know halal and haram, who doesn't know what is wajib and haram, the Imam will not ask him questions, he will not try to give him lessons, he will not try to refer him to different websites to go and learn. The Imam is going to kill him. Because the hujjat, the proof, has been established until then. When a man, when everyone knows what is true from what is falsehood, and they choose falsehood knowing that the other side is the truth, then obviously there is nothing to teach. The fact is, when you have chosen a side knowing what the other side is, if you don't know the other side, okay, there's a chance where you can still clear that doubts, answer the questions. But if you know the truth, if you know the truth is on one side, and you know that this is falsehood, but you still accept falsehood, that will be the situation when the Imam will come. Everything will become so clear. And who will make it clear? See, who will make it clear? We have to know this. Who will make it so clear to people of the world? Right? This is, my friends, understand this. Those who are waiting for the Imam will make it clear. Those who are waiting for the Imam will make it clear. And I do not want to mention the word Shia. Right? Because of the fact that it has been used, overused, and abused. Right? Really. Those of his Shias who are waiting for him, they are those who are not. In fact, they're not even waiting for their death. They don't know what they're waiting for. Really, they don't know what they're waiting for. You know, what are they waiting for? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, what are you waiting for? Right? What are you waiting for? Go to sleep again? What is it that you are waiting for? You see, we need to answer that question to ourselves. You see, either we are waiting, I mean, if we have to wait for something that's going to happen, wait for your death, that is going to happen, wait for it. Or you wait for the Imam, that is going to happen. So, the things to wait for, you see, most people don't even know what they are waiting for. And here we see, if we are waiting for the Imam, then we wake up, we are waiting for him. When we go to sleep, we are going to sleep waiting for him. So for those people, there, when you are waiting for something, you know, for example, you're waiting for that big event to come. You're waiting for your paycheck to come. Anything you're waiting for. Let's say if it's your, like for example, paycheck. You get paid on Friday. You see, you will wait for Friday. Right? And you want Friday to come earlier. You want Friday to come earlier because you're waiting for it. Anything you wait for, you want to make it come earlier. So when you want to make it come earlier, then you will do the things necessary by which you can make it come earlier. And hence those who are waiting for the Imam are the ones who are making the truth clear from falsehood. Making the truth clear from falsehood. This is what the people do for the Imam, those who are waiting for the Imam. Those who are not, you know, if you are not, you know, just know this, my friends. If you are not waiting for the Imam, at least know this, that the Imam is waiting for you. So either the Imam is waiting for you, and with him, his sword is also waiting for you. Dhul-Fiqar is waiting for you. Dhul-Fiqar is waiting for you, right? Because you're not waiting for the Imam. This is the reason, just like the Prophet was mention. Allah says that His mention has been put in the Old Testament and the New Testament and Zabur. And everywhere He has been mentioned. All these history you have learned, how Allah has made His birth so clear to everyone. Just like that, Allah will make the reappearance of the Imam very clear to everyone. And this history serves, this history is being taught, not that we learn about history and say that, oh, what a nice incident. It almost sounds like, hocus pocus show or some, you know, a magical, you know, show.
Ya Allah.
Ya Allah.
You know, Lord of the Rings. Something like that. Wow, oracles and all these things, you know. My friends, understand this. All these things really are mentioned so that we can take a lesson from it, because that same history is repeating itself with us. Right? Just like the people were waiting for the Prophet to come, you see that we are waiting for the last Imam to come, and hence the same circumstances we face today were faced by those people of yesterday. And we take their example to know what we must do to be with the last Imam. Right? Just like if we were alive then, our job was to be and support and believe in the last Prophet. That was our job if we were alive then. Now he came and left. Now the last Imam is coming. So what are you going to do? This is where we need to come in. And inshallah, about the birth of the Prophet, you see, we are just explaining the circumstances surrounding the birth of the Prophet. We will get into the birth of the Prophet, inshallah, next week. And we will see from there, because really, this series of speeches about the history of the Prophet. We went through about 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I don't know how many weeks we went through right now, but we haven't reached that yet. This was a preview to what is coming, because the real thing is we are going to learn from the Prophet himself. So that we can take his example and put it in our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right times. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Haste in the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Any questions? All right. Just some announcements. You know, again. Right, for those people who are traveling on the bus to the Muslim Congress, please confirm your names with me and please give in the money so that we can confirm your seats. Right, we need that today, and we need to get it confirmed today because we are overbooked, and we have to see if we need extra vans, how many vans we need to get. So please let me know if you're going today. We have a list over here that is with Brother Yusuf. He has the list. And if your name is not there, and if you want to go, please write your name in. And inshallah, whatever money is due, inshallah, please turn that in for us so that we are able to organize the trip. Now, the other thing is that next week, inshallah, we will have the Wiladat and the birth days celebration of the Lady of Heaven, Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And inshallah, it will also be a day, you know, for all the mothers here. She being the mothers of the Imams, we also want to honor the mothers who are here, so that inshallah, encourage all the mothers to be here, so that whatever thing that they have planned for the mothers, you know, that they will be a part of that. Alright, then inshallah, with that, please recite a Fatiha also for the soul of our beloved Imam. Who had really, truly, we are indebted. We are indebted to in every way because of the fact that he has brought us that closer to Ahlul Bayt. He has brought us out of ignorance and really into the light of the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. Really, you know, the one who revived Islam, the one who truly made it clear for us, you know, and inspired us to practice it and to follow it. May he, inshallah, we ask that Allah raise him with the Ahlul Bayt. For truly, we see that even at the time of his death, when he died, really. And this just goes to show what it means, you know, to be someone close to Allah. You know, when he died, another marja by the name of Ayatullah Gulbaygani, Muhammad Reza Gulbaygani, the minute he died, it was early morning, it was like night, he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw that the prophets and the imams are lined up, and each one of them is greeting Imam Khomeini. And he woke up and he called the house of Imam Khomeini to see what's going on, and they said that he had just died. He just passed away. You know, the issue is that these are people that even the prophets and the imams, they come and meet you. They come and meet when you are doing the job, really, that they have worked so hard and sacrificed so hard to do. So, you know, that is the imam, you know, that who has left us, and, you know, we ask everyone, you know, to make a fatiha for his soul.
Another question.
Inshallah. Yeah, one more fatiha again, you know, for the wafat of Umm al-Baneen. If you know that she is the mother of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam.
Thank you.